Well, good morning, people of God.
Morning.
How are you this morning?
Grateful.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It's great. Isn't it great to have that type of attitude and posture as we enter into each day, hearts of gratitude and gratefulness. So, well, welcome this morning. We'll be for communion today. We will be using the pouring chalices once again. So, as you come forward, grab a glass. I want everybody to come down here through the front right here, like you would normally do. And grab a glass and then receive the wine or the grape juice from the assistants there. This is the second time we've done this here, so just giving you a little heads up. You know, Jake needs that, so. He gives me a hard time all the time, so we all taste the same.
Patience.
What?
Patience.
Patience. That's right. That's right. I think that's the only thing as far as worship today, but welcome everyone as we celebrate in this time. We begin today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our opening hymn. I invite you to stand as you're able as we prepare our hearts with our confession. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals in every time of trouble, who does all things well. Amen. Let us come before God seeking forgiveness and life, and I invite us to take a moment for our own self-examination and reflection at this time. Steadfast and saving God, have mercy on us. We confess to you all the ways we turn from you and harm one another. In your compassion, forgive our sins and heal our hurts. Bring forth from us a harvest of righteousness, the fruits of gentleness and peacemaking, and sheaves of wisdom and justice. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is healing balm for your wounds. Rejoice, for God raises you up to a new life in Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Let's share that with one another. I do like it when we take plenty of time to share the peace. That's good. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. He is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing and glory are His. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Sing with Let us pray. O God, with steadfast love you draw us to yourself, and in mercy you receive our prayers. Strengthen us to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, that through life and death we may live in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Our first reading is from the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, verses 31 through 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it upon their heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord. The psalm this morning is number 51, the first 12 verses. Please answer responsibly. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, In your great compassion, blot out my offenses. For I know my offenses, and my sin is ever before me. Indeed, I was born steeped in wickedness, a sinner from my mother's womb. Remove my sins with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be purer than snow.
Let me hear your joy and gladness, and the body you have broken me rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my wickedness.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. The second reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival came some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I invite the kids to come up here this time.
Good morning. Oh, yeah. Sit down. Sit down. There we go. Good morning. Can you hear me?
No.
I can't hear me, but I can't hear much of anything. So, good morning. Good morning. Come on up. So, we were reading in the Gospel today, and Jesus refers to a seed that has to die in order to become the fruit. Did you get that part?
No.
It's kind of a weird part, isn't it? It does have to grow. It has to grow. In order to get the fruit, the seed has to break apart and things have to grow out of it, right? And grow into the plant. Well, you need to stop, please. So I brought some seeds. What kind are they? What do they look like?
Popcorn
seeds, right? Do they just sit there? Usually, right? I mean, they just sit there for a while. But then if we want something good to come of them, what has to happen?
We need to cook them.
Something needs to happen. Does it just, we can just look at it and go, yum, yum. Do you eat them like that?
No.
Maisie says, no way. You should see the look in her eyes like, no, Josie's gone nuts. Do you eat them like this?
No.
No, you have to cook them and then things happen. What happens to those little seeds?
They
do, they pop.
There was one religion that some people thought that the popcorn seeds, that there was a little person inside the popcorn seed, and when it got too hot, the person would explode.
Oh, that is a very interesting fable. Okay, so anyway, do they just stay the way they are? No, they have to change, don't they? They have to change. And Jesus is asking us that in order for us to become something really yummy and good like popcorn, we can't stay seeds. He couldn't stay a seed anyway. Do you need to go back? Thank you. So we can't stay seeds because if we're going to do something good like become popcorn, we have to change. We have to stop being the old person and we have to become something new and different. Jesus needed to do a change too. He needed to die in order to save our sins. That was the change that had to take place, right? And he's saying that if you want to be like me, if you want to come and be with God in heaven, you need to change too. I'm asking you to do some really cool stuff and help people and do wonderful things. But can you stay a little seed?
No.
Because if you want to be popcorn, what has to happen? Change. You've got to change a little bit. What do you think? Does the change sound like something that's really easy to do? Probably not, right? I mean, the popcorn goes through a cooker, a microwave, pot on the stove, right? Something. It's not really fun. When Jesus had to change, do you think it was easy when he had to die and then be risen again? Was that an easy change? No, and he says that. He says that today. He says, I could beg and I could say, please don't make me change, but that's not God's will. That's not what God wants. God wants that change to happen. And so even though it might not be easy, we really have to do it, right? Because if we don't do the changing part, do we get the scrumptious, yummy end part?
No.
No way. Guess what, though? We all get the scrumptious, yummy end part. Would you like to take some popcorn back to your seats?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. Everybody gets to take some back. Here you go. And as I do that, if you want to... You want some? We'll just take a time out. Everybody can have popcorn. I've only got one bowl. Come on, Natalie. Do you want some? Come on over. There you go. Nice job waiting.
I always sprinkle some Parmesan on mine. Anybody else do that? Try it sometime. Put a little Parmesan. Or you know what else tastes really good on popcorn? Butter. Well, butter tastes good on it. Probably, you know, I thought you might say bacon. Bacon on anything. But nutritional yeast. Have you ever done that? It's kind of a nutty flavor. It's supposed to be good for you, too. Who'd have thunk it? Would you please pray with me? Loving God, we give you thanks this day for your goodness and your grace, for surrounding us always with your Spirit. We give you thanks for your word, and may we learn from it. Now may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our Redeemer. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I got a surprise for you today. I want to teach you a song. Just the chorus to the song. It goes like this. Cling to the cross. Cling to the cross. I will not be ashamed. I will not be afraid. I will cling to the cross. Try singing that with me. Cling to the cross. Cling to the cross. I will not be ashamed. I will not be afraid. I will cling to the cross. We're going to come back and sing that at periodic times in here. I might get those afraid and ashamed mixed around, so just be on your toes. Okay? Well, we live in interesting times. I don't know, for some reason I kind of get hooked into watching news stuff, and it's kind of annoying now. I don't know about you, but you know the same stories keep slamming you in the face all the time, as if it's that's the only thing that's happening in the world. But we live in interesting times. We turn on the TV and there's this constant political drama that goes on. We have climate change, looms big, shootings in schools, walkways collapsing, and more. It hits us and comes at us over and over again. We need some release from this. We need something to save us, or maybe we need a Savior. We wish to see someone who can save us from all this stuff. There's a group of Gentiles, outsiders, that had watched Jesus heal sick, give sight to the blind, and heal people so that they could walk again. They came to some of the disciples and said, "We wish to see Jesus." Now remember, these are Greeks. They're not Jews. They thought that this was the one who could give hope and meaning to their lives. They were on the outside looking in, and they wanted more. When Jesus heard this, Jesus replied, "The hour has come. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." The one who constantly repeatedly said time and time again that the time is not yet, is not here, now says it is. The time has come for the message of the one who has come to save all to be spoken to all, for all to hear. We wish to see Jesus. We wish to see Jesus. What does that look like? Jesus tells us stories of what it would look like. Do you want to see me? Well, Jesus says, then you must die. You want to see me? Then you must hate your life in this world and with all the security and comfort you've accumulated. You want to see me? Then you must follow me and serve me. Jesus is talking about a life of risk. Now, farmers and gardeners know about risk. Each time you go out to the field and put something in the soil, there's risk involved. You kind of, it's out of control. Every year seeds are put in the ground not knowing what conditions there will be, if they'll grow properly or whatever. Will there be enough rain? Will there be rain at the right time? Will the wind or the sun beat down and wither the crops. All the questions that are asked once the farmer has risked the seed. It's like what Josie was talking about. Risking the seed. Willing to let it die so that it might germinate, so that it might break apart and grow and create life. To not risk the seed, to keep it in the bin, is to give in to the urge of safety, and by doing so, receive nothing. Receive no crop. This is what Jesus is talking about. We must be willing to die, knowing that only by doing so can life result. Watching farmers and gardeners is one thing, but Jesus gets pretty personal about this whole thing. Those who love their life and see their creation of life as well as all important will ultimately lose it, he says. It is only those who hate their life in this world to the point of willing to let it die will have a harvest of new life and hope. So, that's kind of disconcerting. What does that mean? What does that look like? What does that death look like for us? Who is asking us to see Jesus, hoping that in our lives we would display Jesus with clarity? What would such surrender look like? What crop might come out of it? The planting of your and my seed, our lives as we have come to know them. Are we willing to take the risk? Remember the farmer. Remember the little seeds we put into the soil, accepting the explosion of colors. Cling to the cross, cling to the cross. I will not be ashamed, I will not be afraid, I will cling to the cross. There's a story told of a young boy or a young girl who was sick, and she desperately needed a blood transfusion. Her younger brother was a match, and so he was asked if he would give his sister a transfusion. He agreed and was placed on a bed next to his sister, and the transfusion lines were established. He looked up at his mother as the transfusion began and asked, "Will I begin to die right away?" Will I begin to die right away? What would dying in our lives look like to us? What are we willing to put to death so that others might see Jesus? One of the critiques of mainline churches today is that we are not well equipped to lead the unchurched into seeing Jesus. Too often congregations are only concerned about themselves. Of course we are not. That's not us. But oftentimes we are concerned about ourselves and our own members. Are we willing to die so that others might see? Are we willing to give up something so that others may know Jesus? What would the planting of us look like in this community, in this neighborhood, in this town, in this area, in this region? What would it look like? What does following and serving Jesus look like for us in this community? What needs to die to be planted in order that life can result? Jesus answers this question by telling us of what will happen to him. He is much troubled. Don't get me wrong, as you heard that, he is much troubled. But he tells us that he will be lifted up. He will be crucified and be killed. He will be planted. Hope in a world desperate for hope. Victory over evil, which seeks to destroy us. He's lifted up. Cling to the cross. Cling to the cross. I will not be ashamed. I will not be afraid. I will cling to the cross. We're coming to the end of Lent. Holy Week is near. It begins next Sunday. This year we need to experience Holy Week more than ever before. We need to remember that the events that are the these events are the core of our faith. We need to experience the walk with Jesus into death, because we need to know once again, in a very real way, the intimacy of the Last Supper, of that Maundy Thursday, of the emptiness, the darkness of Good Friday. We need the hope of Easter Sunday. But it is the most powerful, it is most powerful only when we walk the way of death, when we walk through each step of the way of Holy Week. That's the most powerful. We need to experience Holy Week because in the world today, we need to know that we can stare down evil in the face because Jesus stared down evil in the face. And because Jesus meets us in the midst of it all. May the journey through Holy Week bring new clarity and hope to each one of us as we meet the Savior of the world, who's walking beside us, but especially as He dies, so that we might receive life, the fruits. Cling to the cross. Cling to the cross. I will not be ashamed. I will not be afraid. I will cling to the cross. Amen. We sing our hymn 326. Thank you. invite you to stand as you're able. As we join in professing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Renewed in the promises of baptism, let us pray for the Church, the world, and all who are in need. We pray for the Church. Guide us into a deeper knowledge of your love and grace. Increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and service. We pray for evangelists, pastors, prophets, teachers, and all servants of the Church. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the world. For seeds planted in hope of an abundant harvest, for fertile soils and sufficient rains, for shepherds and ranchers, farm workers and seafood harvesters, for flowers and berries, for orchards, vineyards, and citrus groves, we pray, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the nations, for countries embroiled in long-term conflicts, and for communities scarred by political unrest and upheaval. Grant wisdom to the world's decision makers. Grant them to work for peace and the well-being of all people. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those in need, for all who suffer in any way, for those who are lonely and isolated, for those seeking employment, for those who approach the hour of their death, and for all who are ill, especially remember today Maxine and Kathy, Lexin, Gordy and Carolyn, Maxine, Ray, Arnie, Sean, Levon, Otto, Libby, Sam, the family of Elaine Hawkinson, and our companion congregation in Malawi, and Pastor Francis. All those who serve in the military and their families, and all our members and friends who reside in care facilities or who are confined to their homes. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for this assembly, for those preparing for baptism, for those preparing to receive their first communion, for visitors and newcomers, and those who are returning after an extended absence. Deepen us in faith, fill us with hope, and draw us all into your loving presence. Lord, in your mercy. With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died, especially those who have been witnesses and examples to us. Bring us with them to the promise of resurrection and eternal life with you. Lord, in your mercy. Trusting in your covenant of mercy, O God, we lift our prayers to you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. We'll receive our morning offering at this time. Thank you.
Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord, and fill to the brim our cup of blessing. Gather a harvest from the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and the dreams of all, let them with the prayers we offer now. Table with your presence and give us a taste of the feast to come.
Let us pray together. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills are gathered together to become one bread, let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes, the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
Jesus was gathered with his disciples in the upper room, and in that night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. He gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, it's given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Now when the meal had ended, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God gives food to those who hunger. So come, be fed, and be healed. It's been set for you. You may be seated.
I would have done first.
invite you to stand as you're able. And may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in His grace and His peace. Amen. Let us pray. And we pray together. We give you thanks, O God, that you welcome us to your table and satisfy our deepest hunger and thirst. Bring your gifts, the word and holy meal. Strengthen us to take up the cross as we go about our callings in this world, following our Lord Jesus, our Savior. Lord. Amen. Now may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. We sing our closing hymn. Be seated. Just a few announcements I want to lift up today. Next week begins Holy Week. Next Sunday there will be a brunch following the service for that, and Maundy Thursday service with Holy Communion. That will also be the time when our those who are preparing for First Communion will receive their First Communion. And on Good Friday, there will be two services, not one. We've added the 7 o'clock service in the evening so that more have opportunity to participate in Good Friday, in that Good Friday service. So 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock. This coming Thursday night is the benefit for Libby Wallace. It's here at church, so that's from 4 to 8. Please come and support that. And I'm trying to think here, are there any other things that need to be anything that needs to be lifted up?
Just the book fair. I put the first order tomorrow.
Stand up and say that.
The book fair that's in the back, there's going to be two orders placed. The first one is tomorrow. If you want anything to arrive to be put in an Easter basket or anything like that, they need to be ordered first thing tomorrow. So make sure you get me your form that looks like this from the table today. Has to be today.
I see a few people wore green today. I was going to wear a green St. Patrick's Day hat today, but my wife Lori squashed me on that. She said, "It's not St. Patrick's Day."
Next year.
Next year in Jerusalem, right? Anyway, any other announcements this morning? Okay, Dan? We still have 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
You shouldn't feel too bad. We used to have a pastor that wore red tennis shoes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
I wanted to call attention to an announcement in the bulletin about the coming of the new picture directory for the church. This is one of those cases that kind of falls into the same category as our web training. I have handled the preparation of the first three or four pages of that, which have sort of social pictures. I'd like to really encourage anyone who is an amateur photographer and likes to take pictures and understands composition and so forth to get in touch with me so that we can work together because thinking about the following directory after this next one, I might not be around, and so we need to prepare someone to work on that. Thank you.
Okay. Any other announcements this morning? If not, we go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thank you, God.
Ho, 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 ho. Now, one of the things I learned yesterday is that we need to take the mission out there. It's our mission field out there. We need to go there with energy and spirit. So go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thank you.